This is the Paradise Vibes Only podcast. We are back after way too long a time away. Tim McMaster here along with Todd Isaacs and Lucius Fox. We are back because, let's face it, we don't have much else to do right now as we kind of hunker down, obviously, and try to get through this as we all are dealing with the coronavirus and everybody's in their homes and doing what they can to flatten that curve. So we figured we'd get this podcast back up and going. We're brought to you, as always, by DontBlinkApparel.com. Todd and Lucius, great to be back on the line with you guys and talking about, well, we'll talk a little bit about baseball, but it's going to be a lot about just what's going on in life right now. You guys ready to do this?
Let's rock and roll, baby.
Let's get it.
All right, so just to set the stage, I'm in New York, which is probably the worst possible place to be, in Manhattan, which is the epicenter, but all safe here in the apartment. I go outside to walk the dog a few times a day, but otherwise I'm staying inside and feeling okay and just kind of paying attention. You guys are in two different locations. Lou, you're down in Miami, and Todd, you're in Nassau. You went back to the Bahamas. So I just want to check in on what things were like. Let's start in the Bahamas, because I know the numbers as far as what we're hearing out of the Bahamas, Todd, is that, you know, it's single-digit deaths and the positive tests aren't that high. But you're saying before we get going, they haven't really been doing many tests yet, right? So you think those numbers are probably going to go up, unfortunately, like they are everywhere.
Yeah, I firmly believe that the numbers will go up just because of the fact that once you've been showing symptoms, they've just been putting everyone in quarantine and not really testing everyone right away. So I feel like once they start testing more people, the numbers are definitely going to skyrocket. You know, what sucks for us is that we're such a small country. So I think right now we have the highest percentile of deaths in the world based on cases. So
right. That
too is not very good.
But yeah, you see that single digit and you think, yeah, oh, that's nothing, but it's such a small country.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I just hope that they, you know, everyone continues to stay home and keep practicing the safe measures so this thing can slow down and go away so we can get back to regular life.
And you said the lockdown there is actually more than anywhere, I think, in the United States. I mean, in New York, you're supposed to stay home, but, you know, you can go to the grocery store when you need to. You can go out and get a little exercise if you stay away from people. But you're saying there on the weekends, you're basically not allowed to leave your house.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you leave your house during the weekends, there's nothing open. There are police everywhere, patrolling everywhere. You know, you can get fined up to $10,000. So everyone's been doing a really good job the past 2 weekends of staying home. You know, my brother and my mom and I, we've just been really chilling. You know, this is the first time I've been home in the Bahamas at this time of the year since I went off to American Heritage in 2010. So, you know, it's kind of weird being home right now, not playing baseball and actually being in the same roof, under the same roof as my mom and my brother, because I haven't lived home in almost 10 years. So it was kind of cool to be home right now, but I definitely wish I was somewhere playing baseball right now.
Yeah, of course. And Lou, when things went down, you were in Florida. You stayed in Florida, in Miami now. I know Florida was kind of a little bit late as far as closing things down. There was obviously video of people still partying on the beaches and stuff like that. But now they've kind of caught up. How are things down in Florida right now?
It's good, bro. You know, when the news first came out, when they said that it was trying to lock things down and only essential businesses and stuff were open, the first day I went on the road, it was barely any cars. But now, bro, it's traffic on the streets. So I think people down there are not taking it. I don't know if they're not taking it all that serious or they just have everyone just have something to do. But I mean, it's cars on the streets. The restaurants and stuff have takeout. No dine-in, and I guess people are trying to be as safe as possible down here while also keeping establishments open. So it's not as bad as Nassau, and I'm thankful because I would have lost my mind already.
Yeah. Are you so people are out and about, but how often do you kind of go anywhere? Is it just for groceries and that stuff?
Yeah, to get takeout? Groceries, takeout, and then, you know, I've been training 4 days a week, so I'll train every morning, well, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and I'll see cars on the road and stuff like that. But, yeah, just trying to, you know, stay in shape.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's a big part of this. Obviously, you guys are professional athletes, and sooner or later, this is going to go away, and you're going to have to get back to that. And I want to talk about that, how you guys are staying in shape. But first, I think we should talk about how it all, like, how you found out about things closing down. Because obviously, you know, Todd, you're in Arizona, and Lou is in Florida. But it all kind of happened so quickly. We went from, you know, there being spring training games, and then they were talking about, oh, maybe we'll play spring training games without fans. Then a player in the NBA test positive, and it was like the entire sports world shut down in 24 hours. And I know, you know, I've talked to reporters who were kind of in the middle of it, and it was surreal for them not knowing what to do. And then, do I leave? Do I go back to my family? What do I do? How about for you guys? Go back to you, Todd, in Arizona. You know, how did word get to you, and what was the communication like as far as, you know, can we stay here at the spring training facility? Should we go right away? I mean, how did it all go down?
You know, in the beginning, I feel like everyone wasn't really taking it as serious as it was. You know, we kept seeing, you know, the numbers in New York, the numbers in Seattle. It was Seattle and New York that everyone kept talking about in the beginning. And then I think we had two cases that were in Scottsdale. So I think that's what kind of prompted a lot of the teams to like start taking it serious. And then once the guy from the Jazz tested positive, and once the NBA shut everything down, they called a meeting for us right away and told us, you know, not to come to the field the next day, and they let us know what's going to happen in the next 48 hours. And within 72 hours, I was home in the Bahamas. So I wasn't even up in Arizona for a week without, you know, things being shut down. So I was up there. I got up there Friday, March 6th, and I was home the following Saturday. They shut everything down the following Thursday, and I was home Saturday morning. So, you know, they took it serious right away, which is good. And, you know, I mean, it's better this way than having a whole organization affected by this. You know, like the Yankees, for example, when they got – and they found out they had someone that tested positive, you know, if they kept on practicing, kept going on with everyday regular spring training, that would have been bad, really bad.
Yeah, that was the big story at first, was that the Yankees had chosen to kind of stay together mm-hmm. in Tampa and keep practicing as a team. And that lasted like 2 days.
2 days, yeah,
literally. Basically, they made a decision. But what was it like overall in the Grapefruit League, Lou, when you found out it and word kind of spread across everything in Florida?
Bro, this was the first time, like, talking to the team that they didn't have an answer. But usually they have an answer to every question you would ask them. And the GM sat us down and spoke to us. And, you know, after he said what he knew, he asked guys if they had any questions. And a lot of guys had a lot of questions, you know. And he didn't have an answer. And you could see on his face that he didn't know what was going on. But I found out, I was sitting at home watching a basketball game, you know, after camp one day. And then I seen this headline saying the NBA, you know, was being shut down. But I didn't think that was real. Like, I thought it was fake news. And I'm like, there's no way, this coronavirus can shut the NBA down. You know, they about to go into the playoffs. But once I started seeing that more and more, and then we went in the next day, and, you know, they broke it down to us saying that, you know, we have the day off, but it's a strong chance that we'll practice tomorrow. So, okay, we went home. They sent an email again that night saying mandatory meeting at 9 a.m. So they told us weekend off. So it went from one day to the weekend. And they was like, okay, we'll probably practice on Monday. Monday came, and then they said, we have to shut down camp, and we'll be sending you guys home either today or tomorrow. So speaking to the GM, they said, it was like, you can stay here and we'll have light workouts and you'll still get paid and stuff like that. Because, you know, that was a big part of it. People still wanted to make money.
Of course.
And, yeah, of course. But he said, you'll still get paid, you know, a little bit of throwing and maybe a little bit of hitting just to stay in shape. And then we did that for 2 days. And then we got an order to shut down everything. So every person had to go home. No rehabbers, nobody could be at the complex. So it all happened in like 3 to 4 days, where it went from we'll practice the next day to go home. We don't know what's going on. We'll hit you up when we find out something.
Now, did you have a dilemma of do I stay in Florida or do I go back to the Bahamas?
Yeah, so I was thinking about it, and then I was like, I want to, you know, spend time with my family, but I also didn't want to go to the airports. You know, I was playing all type of different scenarios in my head. But I just felt like staying in Florida would give me the best opportunity to, you know, be close. I wouldn't have been stuck in the Bahamas just in case, you know, the Rays want me to report again. And plus, I didn't have, like, a timetable, so I honestly didn't know what I was getting myself into. So I just decided to stay in Florida.
Yeah, decisions that everybody had to make. Now, obviously, some players have families, and they had to make that decision to get back to their own family as well. Now, you mentioned wanting to stay, and obviously – continue to get paid, and it's different from minor leaguers to major leaguers. The major leaguers, you know, they immediately went into discussions as far as the Players Association and the MLB. A little different on the minor league side. They decided some stuff as far as paying players per week, but a lot of guys had reported, and they don't get paid during spring training. They get and they have kind of part-time jobs a lot of times in the off season. So that's tricky as well. Have you had a lot of discussions with other guys, fellow teammates and stuff, Todd, about just dealing with that? And I know you know, you can talk about this too. That was a concern at first, but now you've actually been released by your team. So that's a whole nother issue, yep, right, that you have to deal with.
Yep. I mean, you know, the sad part that a lot of people don't know about minor league baseball is that we can't unionize, so we don't really have one voice that speaks for us like the MLBPA does for the major leaguers. So and we kind of just at the team's discretion. And I, before they released me, they had sent out something from the commissioner saying that they would pay minor leaguers $400 a week, I guess, up until through May 31st. So, I mean, it's something to help, you know, during this time that no baseball is going on. But, you know, who knows how long that'll last. And, you know, that could change any day because – like I said, we don't really have anyone that speaks on our behalf and fights for our rights. So, you know, it's just one of those unfortunate situations to where you just have to, you know, wherever you're at, stay home, keep working, and hopefully this thing blows over soon.
Yeah, certainly been crazy. And I don't know, in New York here, everybody go outside, everybody's wearing masks and gloves and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, you may. Hazmat suits.
The same. I was trying to go into Walgreens the other day, and they didn't let me inside the store because they wasn't wearing a mask. And then, man, so it was kind of weird. But I got a mask, and I started wearing it, but it's uncomfortable, bro.
Yeah, especially working you know out, saying? If you do that, right? You're not running right? Like, in one of those things.
Right? Like, I'm like, bro, I need to stay home.
All right, so you guys got to stay in shape somehow. And I know Todd has built a batting cage at the house in the Bahamas, which is awesome, and he had some videos up about that. Lou, you said you're working out 4 days a week. Is that just solo stuff? Do you guys get on, you know, do you get on Zoom with teammates and coaches about workouts or anything? Is this a collective thing, or are you guys kind of on your own?
The team sends us workouts if you want to follow it. But yeah. My trainer came down from California, who I worked with in the past. And, you know, I've seen great results with him. So I just listen to his workouts. Like, I follow his workouts, and the team will call me every week on Thursday and Friday, just checking up and seeing exactly what I'm doing. But yeah, they're monitoring you closely, but they still don't have any answers. So they told me not to, you know, burn myself out, just to, you know, work out just a few times a week and not every day. So that's why I cut back to four days a week.
I mean, there was talk about everybody going to Arizona and starting up in May, which is crazy to me. I mean, realistically, I think July makes a lot more sense than
June. Yeah, 100%. Right? May is a few weeks from now.
Dude. Yeah, yeah, just like crazy.
No, I don't think it'll be enough players that are okay to do that.
Right, yeah.
Like, I totally. No chance. It's not worth it.
So, Todd, I know you got the batting cage, but is somebody flipping baseballs for you or throwing to
you?
Yeah,
so luckily my little brother is there, so we just toss to each other. I just say, hey, let's go hit. And we go hit, work for like an hour and a half usually. We have some speakers outside the house, so we blast some music. We hit. And then after we hit, I've been using like some bands that I have at the house, some cinder blocks. And, like, these little 50-pound weights that my mom used at her office, like scale weights that calibrate the scale. And I've been using them to, like, do my lifts. So I've been trying to, you know, just find ways to keep working out and staying in shape. Like Lou said, not to burn out myself and just go off of what I know would keep me right.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and you guys obviously, you know, Todd, seeing your family is cool in a time when you really haven't spent that much time with them over the last few years. But then on the other hand, you're away from a lot of friends in the baseball world. So we're doing this podcast right now. We're using Zoom to do it. How much are you guys on virtual calls and Zoom and Hangouts and that stuff? Just communicating with friends and people that you're not getting to see right now.
I would say very minimal for me.
Okay.
I've been to, when I call someone, it's been like friends here in the Bahamas, whenever me and Lucius play, 2K together, Fortnite together. We played Fortnite for the first time together, our first time ever playing it. And we found a way
what
to
we
win.
Did.
And you gotta get Roz will kick your butt.
Yeah, so we won in three games.
It only took us 3 games to win. Just you gotta let the people know that.
And then we posted on Instagram, and about 100 people want to play with us now. And we're like, we don't play this game, so it's not gonna happen.
Right? Like how can I allow other people to play with me when I don't know what I'm doing all the way?
Yeah, you
know,
literally.
Like, you gotta let me practice for like at least 2 weeks first. Like, come on, guys.
So we're seeing, though, but the gaming is going crazy now. The NBA had their little tournament of 2K. We're just starting at the Major League Baseball. They're doing the show, and it's like, you know, every team has a representative, and they're doing a round-robin tournament, and they got playoffs. It's going to take about a month to do that. NBA guys playing horse. The racing, the NASCAR guys are doing a virtual thing that they're actually – airing on television. I mean, it's crazy. Well, I don't know what we would do without esports. But do you guys have you're obviously not huge fans of Fortnite. So what is your game of choice?
2K and the show. I like the new MLB the show. And then I just fell in love with the 2K. Todd got me on the 2K and I fell in love with it. Sorry, baseball, but I've been playing.
I mean, you guys play baseball. You play baseball for real, so you might as well do something else in video.
And the thing go ahead, Lou, go ahead.
I was just saying, like, I want to feel like LeBron James sometimes, you know what I'm saying? That's why I put on the 2K.
and the thing for me, too, is I play the show in 2K. Those are the two games that I play the most. And, like, I have one of our really good friends. His name is Arian. And he plays the show as well. He doesn't play. He used to play baseball with us, but he doesn't play baseball anymore. He's in med school. And he plays the show. And he plays it on Hall of Fame hard, really hard. And I ask him all the time, why in the world do you play a video game on Hall of Fame? And then he said, I want to make it challenging. And then he asked me, why do I play it on easy, on beginner? And I said, because I play baseball every single day for 3/4 of the year, and it's extremely hard to do. So if I'm going to play as myself in a video game, I'm going to put all the sliders on beginner and hit over 100 home runs every season, because that's the fantasy that I'm living in. So just leave me alone. So anytime I play the show, I'm playing it on easy.
Nice. Obviously, this, you know, we're trying to keep this light and joke and see what's going on, but there's been some tough stories, obviously, around the country as far as the tragedy of this. Karl Anthony Towns' mom died today. News came out about that, complications from COVID-19. You know, you guys, it sounds like so far have been lucky on that front. I have been as well. But when you see these stories, you know, is there a change in kind of life perspective a little bit about, you know, everything? I mean, some people feel like in a few months this is just gonna go away and people are gonna go back to what they used to do. Or do you think this is kind of a bigger impact that's gonna kind of have on the world? What do you think, Todd?
I definitely think this is gonna change the landscaping of everyday life forever. You know, I think something like this is gonna change the way you do things, the way people plan trips, plan vacations. Going to places that have a lot of people around, like big festivals, baseball games, basketball games, sporting events. Just because of the matter of fact now that, you know, something that you can't see is basically shut down the world. So I feel now people are going to really, you know, strategically plan out the way they move, like logistically where they go, you know, what they're doing, making sure that, you know, is a safe spot to be where, you know, things like this can happen, because, you know, this started in one place and spread around the world within a matter of weeks and shut down the world within a matter of months. So I feel that things are going to take a while to get back to a kind of a normal feel. But at the same time, I feel that a lot of things are going to change in the future. A lot of new innovations. People are actually going to practice good hygiene now.
Wash We're all their really hands good at washing
often.
Our hands.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Washing our hands more often. And two, I think this has really shown the impact that we've been having on Mother Nature and the Earth. You know, now that the world's been shut down, you know, I've seen stuff online where it's shown the pollution in the air has dropped drastically. You know, the ozone layer is starting to heal itself. So, you know, it's been beautiful weather here in the Bahamas from my God home. Like, it's been clear skies. Every day is a perfect beach day. So I think that just goes to show, you know, the impact that we've been having on the world. I think now people have started to take it seriously.
Lucius, get back out on the field. You're going to have to think twice about, like, high-fiving somebody after a homer, right? Like, everything's in question at this point. I think Anthony Fauci said that, like, we should consider as a world stop shaking hands.
Yeah.
Period. Just don't shake
that's
hands
the
anymore.
Thing. Yeah. Like, everything's going to be weird, Tim. I ain't going to lie to you. I know people are going to be weird about everything going forward. So, like Todd was saying, I don't think the world's going to be the same. You know, I mean, we could try to pretend like it'll get back to where it once was, but I think everything will be different now. And hopefully just everyone learns from this and, you know, we can just get back into somewhat normal activity and just try to enjoy life, man.
Yeah, and hopefully we get back to baseball as well. But if they do decide, and I would think when baseball comes back, when all the sports come back, there won't be fans for a little bit. There's definitely going to be a time period where there's games without fans because they're just going to
push. That's the worst.
Right, but they're going to do it because they, you know, the world kind of needs the TV money and the advertising and to help out the economies. But they're going to do the least risk. So when they come to you guys and, you know, Lou, and, you know, when they say, hey, man, we're going to have all 30 teams go out to Arizona. You're all going to be kind of quarantined in a hotel. You're going to go to the ballpark. You're going to go back to the hotel. You're going to eat your food. The next day, you're going to go back to the ballpark. And they've even said you're not even going to be in the dugout. You're going to be sitting in the stands, like, at least 6 feet apart. Like, what's your reaction? You know, what's the reaction to that? Is it like, no, I don't want to do
buying
that?
Buying the whole thing. That's terrible.
My reaction
they cannot count
right.
the stats if you do that. They cannot count stats.
That's crazy. Like, there's no way you can do that. Like, I wonder whose idea that was, but that wasn't a good idea. Whoever idea. You know what I'm saying? Cause, I mean, like, that wouldn't even feel real. Like, no one would be able to get comfortable, and it'd just be, nah, we can't do that, Tim. We can't do that.
I think if that was to happen, and just to lighten things up a little bit, like, you're obviously going to have to create your own energy. So, like, bat flips galore, like fist pumping, like pitchers stomping off the mound, everything.
Kind of be like high school baseball,
right?
Again.
Like, if there,
be like
if there's
high school
no,
baseball.
Yeah, if there's no fans, you guys got to create your own energy, which means anything is, I think, goes. And just, like, bring the energy up any way you can. And I think there's none of those stupid unwritten rules that we've talked about on this podcast before.
Right, right.
The question is, will they pay more for all of that?
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. Right. I mean, they're even going to have to. They're going to have to think about, like, you know, the TV crews have to be there because there's no point doing this without televising it. But they can't be near each other, so you're going to have, like, cameraman separated, and they talk about taking temperatures of that crews when they get there to make sure they're in a fever.
Every time you come back in the dugout, they have to check your temperature, make sure you weren't exposed.
Yeah, you guys used to peeing in a cup for steroids. Now you're just going to have your temperature taken.
For real, every 10 minutes.
You could imagine how weird that would be.
That's crazy.
Not even just like the peeing in the cup to test you and temperature and all that, but you could imagine you at a baseball game and no one's in the dugout. All the players are in the stands and far away from each other.
So where do they put the helmet rack?
No interaction in Arizona was
100 in hell.
Yeah,
like that, this got my mind exploding.
It's just kind of
I'm just trying to prepare you, Luke.
No baseball. It's a terrible time to be a commissioner in any sport.
Yeah, it is. No, they're hard decisions, and you know we're joking around, we're having a little fun with this, but obviously we realize how serious it is and how tough these decisions are that all these leagues are facing. Because, I mean, there's so much at stake. There's the players who need to get paid to keep their, you know, careers going and for their well-being. The ballpark stadium employees need to get paid. The TV crews need to get paid. Like
there's a lot of people that rely on it.
Yeah, they're relying on it.
They rely on 1-9-0 game. That's crazy to think about.
Think about the pressure on these commissioners to like, well, when is the right time to try to crank this up for those people without risking the health of these
guys? I honestly think like the best thing to do is, honestly, like if the end of the tunnel isn't there, like you don't see the end of the tunnel, just chalk this year up as an L and just take the loss.
Yeah.
And then just revamp and come back strong next year.
Yeah.
Like, if that was to happen, then that's just something that everyone has to deal with. Because, I mean, everyone's suffering from it. It's not just, like, one particular demographic is suffering from this. Everyone is.
Yeah. And I think baseball will hang on as long as they can.
Yeah, definitely.
If they have to start the season in July, I think they will try to get 80 games in, 100 games. Play the playoffs a little late in warm weather places. That could definitely happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be interesting, and we're glad everybody out there is just kind of staying home and staying safe. There was talk at one point that we were going to go to the Bahamas for your guys' home run derby, the Don't Blink home run derby. me and Ross did not get down there. Regret. We did not get down there.
Next time y'all have to come. Next time for sure. Like, I'm not hearing no.
Yeah.
If I gotta come to your house and drag y'all, then I'm like, y'all have to come.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, when this comes around next, I guess beginning of January next year, everything's kind of back to normal, and we can do it. I'm all for it. But you know, I think there was a lot of coverage this year. It was fantastic. MLB Network gave you guys some love. Lots of different outlets gave you love down there. There was videos online, great stuff. So. As good as it looked from afar, was it even better there?
Way. That's what I'm trying to tell you, Tim. Like, what? Tim, this, like, you can't, I mean, it's all fun. Like, it's all nice and stuff when you look at videos and yeah, it's pretty. But the energy, like, in person, you can't be there. You have to be there in person to, like, really get the full experience of it all.
I had a lot of fun.
It was awesome, you know. And it was so much better this year because just one thing, like one thing just made it so much better this year than last year. And, you know, my team won.
Here we go.
I know he was going to say that.
This year, this past year was the best home run derby we've had. Not because it's year three and we improved it every year, but because my team won. You get what I'm saying? So, you know, like, you have a lot of work to do for the next one, so hopefully you can get another victory at some point before all this is said and done. But, yeah, this past year was the best one. I can't lie.
My team just folded. Like, I was so disappointed in my team. Like, I knew, like, it was going to be close. Well, I thought it was going to be close. But going into the last round down by 13, having only 15 swings, no chance. Unless I was bogus hitting right there.
You could have pulled it off, Todd.
There's no chance. All I was trying to do was just get into the next round.
You got to believe in yourself.
Yeah. For the first four swings, I believed in myself. Until I didn't hit two home runs, until I didn't go 4-for-4, then I was like, I only have 11 swings left to hit 10. I knew I needed to just focus on getting into the next round. My team, you know, absolutely folded.
They laugh at my team. They laughed at my team when they saw my team on paper. They laughed at me, Tim.
I remember.
They said I had a bad team.
Yeah,
I
his team on paper wasn't not as strong as mine. Home Run Derby really exposes MLB prospects. Like when they come down into the Bahamas, they get absolutely exposed. And it's crazy to see. Because you read about all these guys all the time. They have, tremendous power, tremendous this, tremendous that. And then they come to the Home Run Derby and the pressure's on and they fold. They absolutely fold. And it blows my mind because my team should have been lose team by at least 20 home runs.
Ain't no pressure like the don't blink home run
derby. No, it's evident. It's evident.
It's a lot of pressure.
That is absolutely how you draft. It is. Like we're drafting first year players is sketchy. First year participants is super tough drafting them because in the baseball world they have these tremendous stats, these tremendous accolades. So it's hard to miss up on them. But then when you pick them and it's their time to hit, they hit 4 home runs, 5 home runs, and this year the fences were the shortest they've been in 3 years in the 3 home run derbies that we've had. So you could literally miss hit a ball and still a home run. And we have guys hitting the ball off the L screen, one hopping the water. Like I was watching that and I couldn't believe it. Cause Lou's team, except Chavez, I had to put Chavez on blast. Lou's team was absolutely killing it from the first guy up hit 9 home runs, 8 home runs. One of the youngest dude in the competition.
I think it has to do with the captain, though. You get what I'm saying? I made them feel like comfortable, like no pressure, like we can have fun regardless. No, you don't have to hit 10 home runs. So they had a whole like weight lifted off their shoulder. You know, Todd was putting pressure on his team.
No,
and you know, pressure is never good, Tim. You know what I'm saying? So like
pressure is a privilege. Free. Don't listen to Lucy.
You gotta pressure be free.
Is a privilege.
So now this is a delicate territory, but who was there? Somebody who really stood out as just a complete disappointment.
Yes, I am. I was gonna say a complete.
We'll get to the guys who are good, but I want to hear you call somebody out there. Complete
disappointment.
Yeah,
I would say would have to be Daniel Johnson, Monte Harrison. That's all on my team. Jeremiah Jackson, James Rolle.
So your whole team, basically.
Basically,
so,
like
Tom, why are you saying you have like so much disappointments though? Why is that?
You know, and I know that these guys are capable of absolutely destroying baseballs.
So Monte Harrison, like they didn't. So
20 something home runs last
year. They didn't perform. Like why?
They got nervous. The pressure of being in the Bahamas, hitting on an elevated stage, with thousands of people at you.
You have to know this before you draft them. You have to know their personality.
Yeah, but Lou. Okay, Lou. So you took Brinson last year. You didn't want to take him this year. And what did he do for you?
He won.
Put on a show. And he won the whole thing.
But you don't know. The thing is, I'm just a good GM. You got what I'm saying?
My player
development skills are way better than yours.
No chance.
You know what I'm saying? I could take an average player and make him a superstar.
No chance.
You get what I'm saying? Like, that's just something I could
bro,
do.
Bro, the only thing that I could give you is you had guys, the young guys that you picked were hungry compared to my young guys.
Tim, what does it sound like? Who got the better player development?
You just pick hungrier players. That's it. That's it.
What does that mean? That doesn't have to do anything with development. They just were hungrier.
To put on.
If I'm picking the young, hungry guys, what that means, Jim? That's good.
Those are the guys you want, right? So if Brinson was a disappointment a year ago and Lou knew, you know, with a year of experience, maybe he's going to be better, that makes sense, Todd.
Yeah.
I picked Monte Harrison. He was a disappointment the year before, and he was a disappointment again this year.
We got to make sure we
tell I was all so disappointed in Monte. I was so, and we spoke about it, and he's like, yo, T, I'm going to pick you up this year. Like, bro, I got to redeem myself. Like, I'm going to do it. Literally 8 minutes before he had to be on stage, he was soaking wet, just came off a jet ski.
And trying to relax.
And everybody was looking at him like, bro, hold up, bro. You soaking wet right now. And he just put his baseball pants over his shorts, went up and hit and went right back on the jet ski. I couldn't believe it.
He was not committed to the team.
No, and I really missed this year. I really missed Shed and Nolan Jones. Like, those two guys, last year, they really put on a show, and I missed them this year. I mean, Lou had some guys that came out as well. But those two guys, I really missed them.
Tim, listen to me good. I even forgot about this. This one went there so long ago.
Oh, we gotta read off the picks.
No. Yeah, thanks for saying that, Todd. So, I had a way better team than what showed at the beach. You understand? And I still won. Okay, first pick, Bobichet. The Blue Jays told him he couldn't hit because he had back problems at the end of last season. Okay, he's done. Josh Lowe, shoulder surgery. Nate Lowe had to do a mission trip. Three guys, my first three picks had something to do and they couldn't show up. I had Gregory Polanco and Dominic Smith that both couldn't attend. You hear my first five?
Yeah.
That didn't participate.
Right. So your top five picks basically. No shows.
Right.
Like, yeah, his top five picks were definitely, his top five was nice.
But the whole
thing. But my top five was nice too.
All this to say this. No matter what happens, what people say about your team, they might laugh at your team, but you have to find a way to win. And that's what we did. We found a way to win. That's just
kind of like the Nationals. It's kind of like the Nationals.
For like all the kids out there, and then like a lesson for Todd too. You know, hopefully he can take like a page out of my book and, you know, that can help him next year.
All seriousness though, guys, you guys also raised a lot of money for a good cause. There was MLB Play Ball held an event.
Yeah,
for
kids too, Play right? Ball, that was awesome. Shout out to Bennett, Carolyn, Kindu, Kim, all those guys over there, man. They came down and they absolutely loved themselves there. Like, I honestly thought they weren't gonna leave. I thought they were gonna stay. No, we had a lot of kids. I would say upwards of 300 kids were out there. Like, they looked so swamped. Like, they, I don't think they expected that many kids to show up.
I've covered some of those play ball events here in the States, and they're always a lot of fun, but I can only imagine how cool it must have been doing it down there.
It was awesome. Like, it felt like it was, we did it from 8 to 1 or 9 to 1, and it felt like it was 30 minutes long, how quick it went by.
And then I think at that point, it's kind of crazy how much has changed since then. But at that point, a lot of the money you guys raised was going to hurricane relief still too, right?
Yeah, hurricane relief. And then the Cancer Society is in the Bahamas.
Nice. So great, good causes. And you think about it then, you know, that was January and it was still the biggest concern. And it's still a big concern is obviously rebuilding after the hurricane. But now top of that, yeah, what's going on now? It's crazy to think about.
Yeah, no, it's like you get 2020 just started off crazy, man. Like, we had the home run derby started on a high, and then it just went south real quick.
Yeah, we may. 2020 is going to end, and we're going to remember the home run derby being like the only.
Yeah, literally thing that happened. The highlight. Yeah, literally, that was it. The highlight of the year. Like, this year has been crazy.
Yeah, just hopefully the year shakes back quickly because, you know, the next home run derby is depending on the upcoming events in the near future. You know what I mean? Like, we want to bring back the show for the people, but, you know, safety and all that comes first. So we'll see. We'll closely monitor this pandemic and hopefully we can get back to planning it, you know?
Yeah, because obviously there's flights involved and all of that. But yeah, hopefully January, you know, it's enough time that will be in some way back and you guys can do more good with the home run derby. Because I want to get there, man.
Yeah, no, you guys have to. Like, you
gotta,
know what you're missing out on.
You got to.
And my guy, Ras, like, I hope the Jets sign a good quarterback this offseason because if they're the only sport to play this year, at least the Jets hopefully can win two games this year.
Give Roz a break. Let the Jets be good, right?
That's what I'm saying. At least let something shake up for him this year.
So to finish things off, I thought, you know, we usually do what you've been listening to lately. But I think we need to do that a little bit. What have you been listening to or watching to get through this pandemic? Because there's so much downtime. Everybody's binging and all of that. So I don't know if you guys are watching Tiger King or what's going on.
Was crazy.
I'll start with you, Todd. You know, what music are you listening to? And was that the best thing you've seen on TV?
Yeah, Tiger King is top three best thing I've watched since this cold quarantine. Because that I was watching it, and before the first episode was over, I was like, what the hell is going on? At least 1,000 times. And then as I kept watching, I was like, this has to be fake. This is no way this is real. And it absolutely blew my mind. It's kind of like I was watching like a reality show, but like a documentary. It was crazy weird. Crazy weird, but it was so engaging. Like once I watched the first episode, that was at the end of 7, and I was like, yo, like I haven't moved in 7 hours.
So how about some music? What you got?
Music, I've been listening to like a lot of new Tory Lanez, a lot of album he just dropped. Been listening to a lot of new Mills the Kid. That's one of our friends. He just dropped a song, a music video on YouTube actually, called 50 Shots. So I've been listening to that heavy. I also been watched Money Heist season 4. Incredible show. If you haven't watched it yet, please watch it. It's an incredible series. Season 4 was absolutely crazy. And I kind of wish I was a part of that heist. You know, watching it makes me want to steal money from a mint somewhere. How exciting they make it. So... you know, that's what I've been watching.
All right, Lou, what do you think? Did Carol Baskin kill her husband?
Oh, 100%.
100%. 100%. There's no way she did it. Like, what? That was a good show, though, right? I must say. I just was sad at the end. I mean, not sad, but I thought that more people would have went down with Joe Exotic.
Yeah.
Just him being the only one that went down, I was like, that was kind of depressing for me, Tim. I ain't gonna lie to you.
They were saying he would have made a ton of money over the last month if he wasn't stuck in prison.
Oh, he would have made like a ton of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know he's like the favorite. Everything you see about Tiger King, you see Joe Exotic. You know what I mean?
Literally.
Other than Carol killing her husband. But I must say, like, she's a bad woman because they have no trace. Like, something I got no idea,
but like you could see it in her face that she killed him.
Yeah,
and has like no remorse you see for it.
It's dripping off her face like it. She's wild. I enjoyed
what you got
it,
for music?
The whole thing. Me, I've been listening to the Tory Lanez a lot too, and then Lil Baby, you know his project. I play that about every day. I think he's like my favorite out right now. So I just been listening to him and Tory Lanez and just trying to get through, Tim. It's kind of hard out there for me, Tim. I'm trying to get active again.
Yeah. You guys keep it going. Keep it working out. This is going to pass and baseball is going to come back. And Todd, you're going to find yourself a new team.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to start rolling from there. I don't know when it's going to be, but it's coming. And we're going to keep doing this podcast to keep you guys occupied and busy between now
we
and
then. We have
to.
We have a lot it's of content for the people.
It's been a while, and it feels so good to be back.
Yeah, and we, you know what? It's a good way to check in with guys, too. We'll get some guests on and talk a little bit about what other people are doing around the game of baseball. So this has been a lot of fun. It's been way too long since we did this. Thanks for jumping on, guys. As always, brought to you by DontBlinkApparel.com. This is the Paradise Vibes Only podcast. Thanks for tuning in, everyone.
Yes, sir.
Oh, be easy.